Chapter 11. Emma. I glance down at myself to confirm that I am indeed still wearing what I put on after that morning's shower. Pajamas? Behind me, the table gives an ominous creak and I wince as I wave a hand toward the window. I should probably get that, you know, before the table breaks. Yes. She takes a sip of her water. Because that would be the greatest of tragedies at this moment. Right. I take a deep breath and turn to the duffel because that, at least, is something I know what to do with. Hauling the duffel back in the window is far more difficult than tipping it out was, and by the time I drop the thing on top of the comforter, now gracing a large section of floor, I'm starting to sweat. I wince as one hiking boot and an old shirt emblazoned with Link from Zelda tumble out the top opening of the bag. This explains why your clothes look practically new when we clean out your closet every year. She looks around. Did you redecorate? Where are the throw pillows and the sea glass candle holders? My gaze drops to the bed and the narrow drawers beneath it that hold all the decorative gifts my family has given me over the years that I only set out when they're coming over. The art prints from the living room under there, too? No. My voice is dry and croaky. Top of the office closet. Her nod is small and slow as she steps farther into the room, carefully missing the bedding now repurposed as a throw rug. She steps into the closet and hooks the hangers from the garment bag over the rail. With the care and efficiency of the professional she is, she gathers the dropped clothes and begins to place them back on hangers. I do wear them. I move to stand at the closet door. Would it be bad to grab a few hangers and put away the clothes from the duffel bag? Probably. When? Family functions? She holds up a dress that makes my skin itch just looking at it. Has anyone ever seen this outside of me and Mom?
Aunt Jade. She was at that dinner.
I knew the dinner she was talking about because I'd spent every torturous moment wanting to change clothes. I'd actually pushed the top of the dress down and slapped on a hoodie for the ride home that night. She straightens a few more garments. I wore that suit to present to the museum board. You weren't at that. I point to the suit hanging at the end of the rail. I got the approval to move ahead with my prototype, design. Congratulations. She pinches the fabric of a pair of yoga pants that I missed earlier and rubs it between her fingers. What did you plan on wearing for tonight's date? It's not a date. Her gaze flits around the closet and then looks over my shoulder. You'll forgive me if I don't exactly trust your judgment on social encounters at the moment. My lack of throw pillows does not translate to an unawareness of social cues. Does an abundance of squishy stuffed animals? I frown because I really don't want to defend my animal pillow collection, taking up the entirety of the chair in the corner. It's not a date. It could be. You're just not seeing the potential. The look on her face says she's talking about more than my night out with Carter. Something in me shrivels into a ball and retreats to the corner to whimper underneath the stuffed animals. All my life, it's been me and Amy against any and every obstacle. Mother, school, boys, customer service reps. No matter what, I always knew Amy was on my side and I was on hers. Not anymore. I'm not sure where I stand with Amy right now, but we certainly aren't shoulder to shoulder. As a hopeful gesture of peace, I grab the 3-ring binder full of clothing and accessories suggestions and flip to the date night section. I pick the first one that doesn't make me cringe. I was thinking this one. I turn the book to show her a cheetah print skirt that hits mid-calf paired with a snug black sweater. She blinks at me and then the book. He's taking you somewhere in Appleton, and you want to wear leopard print and stilettos? Probably not the stilettos. I fall over in those. I swallow and confess. I usually switch them out for those round-toed flats or the little tiny heels. We both looked down at the mess of shoes scattered on the floor.
So do you have the ballet flats I brought you?
Amy asks.
I have everything you brought me. I'm not going to haul it away or anything.
No, you let me do that. I want to tell her she's got the wrong idea, that it's not fair for her to catch me off guard like this. But the truth is, I feel like I owe her every dig she wants to get in. She could probably tell me grass is orange right now and I wouldn't correct her. She unzips the garment bag and pulls out a slinky green jumpsuit. It looks like a casual version of the evening gown she put me in a few days ago. At least casual for her, which means dressy and uncomfortable for me.
I think you should wear this.
Okay. I can always change into something more appropriate after she leaves. Maybe even jeans. I mean, I am going to a diner in Appleton. I could wear my jeans.
And you will make me a promise not to change out of it until you come home.
She stabs me in the chest with her perfectly manicured finger. I rub at the spot as I step back.
How did you know? Twin telepathy.
I snort. That's baloney. Or you'd have known about the clothes already. Really, I hope I learn how to shut my mouth before I go see Carter tonight. Amy pulls the jumpsuit from the hanger.
You will promise to wear this on your date tonight, or I take that duffel with me and you'll never see it again.
Just the idea that I would lose all my leggings and jeans and oversized hoodies is enough to make me ill. The room spins around and a few dark spots float across Amy's face. In the next moment, I'm lunging for the duffel, trying to upend the thing that is half as big as I am, and dump the contents on the floor. Amy's arms wrap around me, and we both topple sideways into a pile of clothes and bedding. She tries to wrestle the duffel from me, but I'm not going to make it easy for her to take my clothes.
What are you doing? She shrieks in my ear. Saving my clothes!
I grunt as I push another cluster of clothing out of the bag.
I can't afford to replace everything if you toss it in a dumpster.
She stops wrestling and flops onto her back to stare at the ceiling. I flop down beside her, the half-full duffel draped across my legs. She plucks a hooded sweatshirt up from the floor and looks it over.
Did you have a giant boyfriend in high school?
What? No. Was Amy trying to give me mental whiplash? She waves the sweatshirt in the air.
Emma, this is a men's extra, extra large.
I know.
You wear a size 8.
Sometimes I get a 10. Her head falls to the side until she's looking me in the eye.
Do you really wear this out in public?
I shrug one shoulder. Not often. To the grocery store sometimes. Mostly it's around the house. It's like a blanket that doesn't trip you up. Her mouth opens, but no sound comes out. Her teeth snap shut as she turns back to the shirt. Suddenly, she springs into a sitting position, turning so she can face me.
This is a cry for help.
No. I sit up and take the sweatshirt from her. This is my shirt. You were never supposed to see it. Her gaze doesn't stop moving over the pile of clothing around us. When she reaches out and grabs the duffel to pour the rest of it onto the floor, the normal roll of emotions returns to her face. And I don't like it. She's realizing how old some of these things are, and she's hurt and confused. This time, it's her realizing we aren't standing on the same side.
I'll wear the jumpsuit,
I whisper. Because what else can I do? But you have to tell me what I'm going to do when I go to the bathroom. I can't go to dinner and not drink anything. She blinks at me for several long moments. A shudder passes through her body, and the smile she gives me is weak.
You sort of roll at the top and lay it in the pants.
And then proceed to sit around in a public bathroom stall practically nude? Lovely. I give her my own weak smile.
Can't wait.
For the next hour, we don't say anything about my apartment or the clothes all over the floor. I see her cataloging the differences, taking note of everything I hide and all the items I put out, just to make them happy. What has always seemed like a perfectly brilliant plan suddenly feels childish. But I can't change anything now. I sit while she curls my hair, even though nothing has ever stayed, and I'll have bored straight locks running down each side of my face before I make it to the diner. The makeup takes far too long for how natural it appears when she's done, but I don't complain about that either. Finally, she stands in front of me, arms crossed, examining me with narrowed eyes.
You're ready for your date.
It's not a date.
Yes, it is.
How do you figure? She holds up a finger.
Will there be dinner?
Yes. Another finger extends from her hand.
With an activity after?
I assume so. Otherwise, this will be a very strange lesson.
Is he paying?
A third finger joins the first two.
I don't know. Did he make the arrangements?
The look on her face is one I might give Jason when he tries to tell me he didn't mess up the code, but his is the name on the last upload that refuses to compile. In other words, like I'm a total idiot. I clear my throat.
Yes. Then, unless stipulated otherwise, he's probably paying.
Should I be writing this down? Because these feel like rules other people need to know if I'm going to live by them.
We already established you're driving yourself, but that still leaves a lot of wiggle room for the end of the evening, especially if you leave your car at the square and he drives to the next destination.
I don't know.
Doesn't matter. She wiggles her fingers in my face. There's dinner and an outing that he's arranging and paying for, and the possibility of riding in his car. It's a date.
Food and transportation. That's a twisted definition, Amy. And also a possible hint that she doesn't actually date as much as she wants me to think she does. I mean, by her definition, if a nice man offers me a token for the city metro because I've lost mine, and I offer him a piece of gum, we'd be on a date.
Trust me, Carter Anderson is from my world. I would have said our world, but clearly you've only been visiting mine, not living in it.
Never let it be said that a sister doesn't know how to throw a sucker punch, even if it's a verbal one. I frown at her, but don't say anything because a part of me fears she might be right. Growing up, I didn't feel like I ever really belonged. It wasn't until college that I learned a new way of approaching life. Does that mean I don't know how to relate to people like Carter? The idea doesn't sit right. Even our more contentious conversations seem to flow well. Plus, he wasn't born into the tuxedo-wearing, gala-attending sort of crowd. According to the article I read, he grew up in a normal middle-class suburb and attended a normal middle-class public school. Of course, how a person grew up doesn't define the adult they become. My private school self is living proof of that. And if I keep allowing my brain to circle like this, I'll never leave my apartment. I stand and look at myself in the mirror, only to freeze in horror. I can't wear this.
Why not?
Amy stands shoulder to shoulder with me.
You look amazing.
Objectively, yes, I suppose I do. The green is a nice color on me, and the cut of the jumpsuit makes me look very womanly without plunging to my navel. I look like I'm going on a date.
You are. And this,
she waves a hand at my reflection,
is what people who date Carter Anderson wear.
Do you know him then?
Not personally, no. The first time I met him was at Richie's exhibition.
So he has a reputation?
Not that I know of. I mean, I've heard of the man. He donates 2 large paintings a year that always sell for over $100,000, and he sells his other work through a place in New York.
I can learn that from an internet search.
Well, here's what you can't get from your precious internet. I know dozens of women who would trade shoes with you in a heartbeat tonight, so you'd better take advantage of your opportunity.
Everything about this feels wrong. The jumpsuit, hair, and makeup practically scream, "This is not about work." I promised Amy I wouldn't change out of the jumpsuit, but maybe I could cover it up. A black hoodie, a ponytail, and a makeup remover wipe
should do the trick.
Now, where's your bag? I have a feeling if I bring out the brown crossbody sling bag I use when I can't shove everything into my pockets, whatever weird unspoken truce we have going on will shatter. I haven't packed one yet. I know the perfect one. She walks into my closet and stumbles to a halt when she realizes the array of bags she's given me over the years aren't in their neat little hanging organizer in the corner of my closet. She spins and looks at me, golden eyebrows raised. Where? Office, I mutter. I trudge after her as she crosses my apartment. What will she think of the space? Most people find my chair with all its changeable panels to be a little weird. But there's also the papasan chair, the plethora of fuzzy blankets, and the wall-mounted monitor set up with a wireless mouse and keyboard that can be used from anywhere in the room. She takes it all in but says nothing as she crosses to the still open closet and quickly retrieves a medium-sized black bag. I sigh in relief that it's at least big enough to hold my wallet and phone. I may have to take my car key off its ring, but that isn't much of a hardship since I bought one of those quick-release kinds. A glance at my watch reveals I need to be leaving soon, so I stick my hand out for the bag. That will look perfect. We return to my room, and I pack the purse while she collects the other items she brought over with her. The entire time, she keeps up a running commentary of what to do and not to do on a date. I snag 2 travel packets of acetaminophen and shove them into the side of the bag because there's a good chance I'll have a pounding headache when the tension of this afternoon finally releases. Oh, I almost forgot. She rummages in her bag and pulls out a small square and extends it to me. I know you haven't dated in like 5 years, so anything you have is going to be expired. I accept the square automatically, but drop it like it's on fire when I see what it is. No matter how many times I've tried to tell Amy how I feel about sex and marriage, she insists it's all to save face because I'm not dating anyone. She's wrong. I don't need that. She rolls her eyes and picks it up. You aren't going out with a nerd. With a grin, she picks up my bag and shoves the square inside. Just in case. Or not. I take a moment to dig the packet out. Make sure I haven't just deprived myself of pain reliever, and drop the square on the bed one more time. I can throw it away when I get home. I give my purse one last look and then push my sister toward the door. Time to go. One of her arms is laden with her makeup and hair tools, so I prop my purse in her other hand while I disconnect my keys. My apartment has a smart latch, so I leave the carabiner that normally holds my car key behind, along with the lip balm holder, thumb drive, flashlight, digital business card, and minion puffball. Amy and I part ways at the bottom of the stairs, and she watches me all the way to my car, as if daring me to return to my apartment and change. If I have to circle the block and come back, I'll be late meeting Carter for sure. I grin as I open my car door and give Amy a wave, a bundle of black fabric. A cardigan I borrowed from Stephanie while at the office last week and forgot to take off when I left lies crumpled in the back seat, and a hair claw with only 2 broken teeth is clamped to my rearview mirror. I may be able to salvage tonight's meeting after all.